What's 6'5", has 10 major international medals, and makes people go, "Oh, I just love Martin Rooney"? Well, it's Martin Rooney, of course. With pub gardens back, but impossible to book, non-essential shops open, and mixed 4x4s taking place for everyone to argue about once more, normality is back. So is the Backstroke Boys and Girl podcast. And to our delight, we are joined this week by a giant in every sense of the word of British athletics. I'm Claire.
I'm Jody.
I'm Bayo. And Rooney!
I wondered about that for the introduction, but I thought I couldn't pull it off, so I'm glad that someone has done it.
He'll be with us a bit later on.
Absolutely will. We are going to save a roundup of all the international results and all the really exciting things happening. It seems particularly over in the States at the moment, for in a couple of weeks' time when we're going to look ahead to the Diamond League's resumption, and we're going to get really excited because there are some Brits putting out some big numbers. But today is all about what happened this weekend, the World Relays. So over to you both. What did you think? What did we learn?
I thoroughly enjoyed the whole thing. It was a little bit of a hot mess, and the quality of performance wasn't great, but that's kind of not the point, is it? It's really early in the season. It's America, Jamaica, Bahamas, all the big teams. Well, the UK, apart from obviously just three teams, weren't there, all the big relay guys. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
What I learnt is that Kenya have a better 2x200 meter relay team than we do, apparently, and they've also got hurdlers, which we apparently don't have.
And also, see, Denmark and Ecuador seem to be more committed to relays than we are as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's reasons for that, which we'll go into later. But yeah, it is frustrating as fans when you sit down. The BBC do a great job, put on like 7-8 hours worth of the World Relays, and Britain sent three teams maybe, and they weren't our best teams, and we understand, you know, we don't expect everyone's going to be out, everyone's going to be in best form, there's going to be reasons why the sprinters weren't there, but you know, we're already qualified, etc. But it is kind of frustrating when you're sitting watching and you have to cheer on Ecuador because Britain, who are, you know, a few hundred miles away, you know, can't get teams there.
What do you think World Athletics view as the point of the event? Because do you think they're happy with where it is? Because we've never seen a World Relays, or at least not in recent memory, that is chock-a-block with the world's biggest stars. It does seem to be a sort of second-tier global event.
Well, I mean, I think the original idea of it is, you know how in America they start the year with the Penn Relays, with the, what's the one in Florida, with these amazing events. People come out, they run really fast relays, and they throw in a few individual events as well, and it always starts the year. And we're like, oh my God, look at those times. And it feels like, you know, like the athletic season has started. So I think that was the intention. It was also very smart of them to say this is a way to qualify for the World Championships, because now Denmark have qualified. They can't be taken away from them. Ireland have qualified, can't be taken away from them. So it's a real incentive for that, some of those countries who may not get the opportunity to run many relays, to get the two times you need to qualify on time, to actually qualify. So in principle, I think it's a really good idea. I'm not sure it's been executed the best. I think they need to stick to their guns about what the relays should be, even though the distance ones, I know they weren't fully, didn't have like lots of entries, and they seemed a bit boring because once people were in the lead, they just seemed to run away from it. But that's kind of essentially what that relay is. So I think we need to stick to some more proper relays and give them time to develop. The same way as we did, like with, you know, like when they introduced the women's 50k walk, everyone's like, oh, no one will ever be able to do that, because no one had done it previously. But when you give them an incentive to do it, then I mean, it's fun. It should just be a bit of fun at the beginning of the year, but it would be nice to see some bigger names turn out.
It needs to be fun. It doesn't need to be taken so seriously, but the idea of things really World Athletics, got to stop calling them that, really need to work on getting the big names there. It's kind of unfair, say, and this, we'll just put this one to one side, you know, with all the big guns not there, we don't count this year, but in going
and
forward,
for legitimate reasons this year,
absolutely, I'm not criticizing at all, but going forward, for example, if say your big teams, your Americas, your Jamaicas, who have already qualified, if they just turn up with like CDE teams, it kind of makes a bit of a mockery of it, especially when you've got other teams really, really busting, you know, busting the gut to get qualified, and then you have the big teams not really bothering. I don't know, they just feel something that's got to be sorted there to make sure the quality's higher.
It's been hosted in some amazing locations over the years. So it seems like it's often quite a nice holiday for those involved in World Athletics. They get to go to the Bahamas and all sorts. Mm. I wonder if a way to make the field stronger would be each year to have it a fortnight before or a week before the opening Diamond League of the season in that location. Mm. So the stadium, it would get a little bit more interest because athletics is on people's radar in the vicinity anyway. But it would also mean that those big names are present. It's not an extra trip for them. And I imagine if you had a decent prize pot, a bit of prestige, anything, then you could get people there and I think we'd see better fields.
I kind of liked the idea, and I think it was going to be doing this originally, that it was always going to be in the Bahamas. Something about the first one worked really well. It was kind of this carnival atmosphere. We'd never seen anything like it before. There was all events from I think it was like 1500s down to 100 relays, etc. And it felt like a bit of a festival going on. And everyone wanted to go to the Bahamas, obviously. Then I think the second one was in the Bahamas as well, wasn't it? And then the third one was in Yokohama, is that right?
Mm.
Maybe Bahamas don't want to do it. Maybe there are reasons not. But it felt like that was going to be a bit of an event to kick off the season that everyone would want to go to just because of the location.
It does seem like something that the athletes do like to take part in. And one athlete who loves taking part in the relays and wished he could have been there last week is Martin Rooney. So now we had a bit of a chat with him. So let's throw to Martin. Let's see what he has to say about relays in general. And then we can come back and talk about the specifics.
Rooney!
This is Paula Radcliffe, and you're listening to the Backstreet Boys.
So a big Backstreet welcome to Mr. Martin Rooney. Rooney. How are you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm well, thank you. And yourselves?
Yeah, we're fine, thank you very much. We've talked about you coming on for a long time. I know you want to at some point come and sit in the studio, you told us. Unfortunately, studios aren't possible these days, are they? So you have an open invitation to come at some point, but it's Zoom for now. Just wanted to check in with you, really. You know, there's kind of the season starting up, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We've had a whole down year because of COVID. So first of all, I suppose, how was last year for you?
Yeah, I definitely want to take you up on that invite at some stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
But last year I took the year off. I decided I was 33. I hadn't had a season off since I was... Well, I hadn't had a season off. And like I'd had some fairly big injuries over the years and I'd just carried on with the seasons. Like I'd always managed to go to a championships even if I'd had some big injuries or surgeries and stuff that year. So I think it's just... I needed to switch off for a bit. I needed to let my body kind of catch up. I needed the mental break. I needed to not be traveling, which obviously was restricted anyway, but I just needed to have some time at home. And I trained at a nice pace. Like I was helping people out in sessions. I was pacing Jess Turner through her sessions. I was pacing Guy Learmonth through his sessions. You know, I was just being available. And it was nice to have that refresher, and it's kind of nice to be back into kind of my own like selfish race mode.
Yeah. So how has training gone over the winter and what kind of form are you going to show this year?
Training's been good. Having that break, it was the first time I'd gone into training where I've not been tired and I've not been jaded. Like normally that first couple of months, I'm like, oh, kind of drag my feet, getting into it. But this year I was excited. It was nice to go back into a group where I had quite a lot of young people, so like Alex Nibbs, who's the British champion in the 400. There's Jess Turner, Seamus Derbyshire. It was a nice. They are a lot younger than me,
and they're half our age.
I'm like the uncle of the group, basically, and I keep on like saying back in my day and all that kind of stuff. So I wind them up like that. But no, it's been really exciting to get back into training. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the challenge of just like. You want to stay ahead of everybody, you know, and it's hard. These kids are really fit. They're strong athletes. So that's been brilliant. And hopefully I'm going to start racing soon. I might be racing in Trafford. Or I'm meant to be racing in Trafford this weekend. So fingers crossed that happens. And I've got a private goal for the season. I don't know. It's a lot better than what I've been running the last couple of years. So that's the aim.
So, Martin, are you going to start the season with an 800 like you've been promising us for about a decade?
No. I did a couple of 800s as to start seasons, and all it does is remind me how hard it is and how much easier it is for a 400. This year, we've really just focused on my 400 strength. I don't think I'm strong enough for an 800, but I feel like I'm strong enough for the 4. So,
cool. That's what counts.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass myself any more than I already have in the last couple of 800s I've done.
Now, you say you're potentially starting the season in Trafford this weekend, is that?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you should have been or would have been competing last weekend at the World Relays, but you pulled out midweek. What was it, a niggle? What actually happened?
I pulled out the week before, but British Athletics held on to it for a while for some reason. I'd had a problem with my lower back and with my hamstring where I was trying to push hard through the floor, and it's just every time I was pushing through, it was just like a shooting pain that was going up through my hamstring into my back. And so we had to have a bit of a intervention. We kind of went for the nuclear option, which is an epidural, to loosen up basically release the nerves and give me a bit more range of movement. When you get to my age and the way I'm moving, and I need all the support I can get. It's something I'd rather avoid at all costs because it is a nuclear thing. But with that, with having the epidural, you can't run properly for a week. You can run and you have great movement, but it feels like you're running on sand. So I could have gone to the World Relays and I could have been at 75-80% and ran horse shit, to be perfectly honest. And it's not fair on anybody else. Any young athletes, like the way I saw it, it's like, well, there's a young athlete who deserves an opportunity to go run for his country. I'd be a hypocrite because I've told people in the past, if you're not 100%, don't turn up. Like, yeah, pull yourself out because you're letting the team down. And I'd be a hypocrite if I'd have carried on. So we made the decision. I was pretty disappointed not to go because I really enjoy those championships. I felt like I could have offered something just to be around the guys. But in these times, you kind of have to make sensible decisions. And like I said, you have to give everybody the opportunity that deserves it.
Just quickly, before we get on to the World Relays, you say that you basically took last year off and you've obviously had these niggles and things. Is, mm-hmm. in some ways, sort of what's happened been a blessing in disguise? Has it been a relief, an opportunity for you to get things sorted out and maybe have a rest after all these years?
Yeah, definitely. For many reasons, COVID's been a crazy and horrible thing. It's like, it's ruined families, it's ruined livelihoods and stuff. So I don't want to be like, oh, my life was amazing. But in reality, like, I got to rest. I got to spend time with my wife and my kids. As COVID hit, I was preparing to go to Florida. And you have to have these conversations with my kids, like, look, daddy's going away for a month. And you can see how disappointed they are. So when I didn't go, it was like, this is it, this is amazing. And to spend like the way that the weather was last Easter and last summer, it was amazing just to be, we were in the garden every day and just playing and enjoying life. So I've had a very easy ride. I've had a good ride. And I think we've come, I suppose, a bit closer together. My kids are used to me going away, so now they've got to get used to it again. But we'll see. It was definitely something that I enjoyed. I don't want to take away from what happened to lots of other people.
Of course. You said you didn't go because you'd only be at 80%, but I would guess that a lot of athletes there were only at 80%. It was a low-key event, which I actually really enjoyed. I liked the Americans, Jamaicans. I liked everyone not being there. I liked the enjoyment of, like, Denmark qualifying in the women's 4x1. Yeah. Like, that kind of joy that you don't see so often on the track. It was actually, I found, a really entertaining championships. Not of the highest quality, but like, that's not always the most important thing. Is the World Relays as an event something you've enjoyed in the past? And what do you think of all the events? Because there's some strange events there as well.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of, obviously, I'm a huge advocate for relays. I bang on about it all the time. I feel like it's probably the event, like, obviously the 4x4 for me is my baby. But I feel like it kind of bridges the gap between like the sprints events and the endurance events. It's basically a fast mile with loads of different tactics going on. And I think you kind of bring in two ends of the spectrum of fans. I feel like the World Relays are really a great championships to be a part of. Like the first one I went to in Bahamas, I don't think I've been to such a carnival atmosphere. Were you both there?
No, we didn't go, no. But like, we wish we did. I think it should be permanently in the Bahamas, to be honest.
Yeah, it was crazy though, because like that year, the first year, unbelievable weather. And then every other year it's been wet and cold because it's hurricane season. so it's less than ideal. But I think like I think it's a good opportunity for Britain to like send teams and just to like test people out. And I feel that's what a lot of other countries do. But I do miss seeing the Jamaicans. You do miss seeing like the Americans running. And it'd have been nice to see. Like one of my highlights was Yokohama, where you saw Brazier doing the 2x2x4.
And like, you've brought that up. I wanted to ask you about that event because what a strange event. And how do you run that? Because this time people ran it in a very tactical way, which I thought and was surprisingly slow in the second 400. I can't find the splits anywhere, but some of them looked like they were slower in that than they would have been in a straight 800.
Yeah, it's a crazy, like, I don't really understand it from a fan's point of view. I understand it from as a 400 runner, 800 runner, four hurdler. Yeah. Like, we can all do that. We're all like, our egos will say, oh yeah, it's fine. It's a horrible, horrible race. It's probably, it's just a massive session for these guys. It's so tough. And it really is like, who's got the best engine, who's got the most commitment to it. Like, you have to commit to the first run. If you don't commit to the first run, you're going to be off the pace anyway. And then you've got whatever you've got left in the tank in the second run. So it is a massively entertaining run for, I think, for athletes. I don't know how it is for spectators. Like, does it have the same draw?
For us, it looks like a training run, but it's still fun. Like, it's we don't know what's going on. We don't really understand the physiology of it, but like, it looks fun.
So a couple of things about the World Relays. First, let's just go back to what you said a moment ago, how it's a real opportunity to send teams and to get experience for people. We didn't do that this year. We sent very few teams. We didn't send any sprinters at all. I wonder if you had any insight as to why that was, especially when considering, you know, Kenya managed to send hurdlers.
Ecuador managed to send full teams. Denmark sent loads of teams.
Yeah, and we didn't.
So I think the 4x1... they had the option they had a vote, and a lot of them are based in the US, and I think they decided that the travel was too much, even though I think they were keen to do it originally, but with the state of COVID in Poland and going back and forth to the States, it became quite difficult. So I could understand their point of view. And also with the 4x1s, they can run in Loughborough and they'll get the qualifying time. You know, the depth that we have in the men's and women's 4x1 is incredible. And they're in that luxury position when they can do those things. Whereas in the 4x4, we'll go to Loughborough and run, well, I would say slower than we ran at the World Relays, but
that's the next question.
We should have ran like,
we'll come to that.
I think at the World Relays, I think the guys would have been looking to run 303, 304. If we'd have tried to do that in Loughborough, it's going to be 308, 309. Literally just the same guys. It's just a different environment and you're not surrounded by good teams. So for us, it was important to send a team to go and secure qualification. I still back us to go. Like, if we hadn't gone, I'd have backed us to go to the Olympics and get two times there, and we'd be sorted for the next year. I'm a fan of those countries, like you said earlier about Denmark. So like Ireland making the mixed race.
Yeah.
Mixed
relay.
What was it? Mixed relay. Sorry. Race final. And that was incredible for the sport in Ireland. Like, you saw the coverage that they got, and I've got a lot of Irish family, and like, it was huge for them. Like, I didn't realize how positive it would be for them. So, it was a very good for that. And the event was brilliant for bringing other countries into it.
Sorry to be grilling you, and obviously we should be grilling like team management. But you say I totally understand why the sprint relays wouldn't have wanted to go and didn't need to go for qualifying purposes. But you say what a big deal it was in Ireland for people to have seen them running and to have got to the finals and that. From a fan's perspective, and you know, everything we do is kind of from the fan's perspective, it is really disappointing when we tune in for like 7 hours worth of relays and we only have like two or three teams to cheer on. Would it not make sense, if you can't get the big teams to go, to fill it with the juniors or maybe lesser teams? Even if we send like fifth, sixth grade teams, at least it's something for the people here to cheer on, the fans to cheer on.
And they can win some money.
Get experience.
And win some money.
And make some money, yes.
100%. Like, there's not much money to be made on the circuit anymore, and the World Relays provides an opportunity for, even if you make the top eight, you're going to get paid something. So I think it would have been great to send some kind of development team, maybe. Maybe be the under 23s or under 20s. I've had this argument in the past where we haven't sent 4x4s to World Relays, to the World Indoor Championships. It was in Oregon one year. We didn't send a team. And I was like, well, if you don't send a team, we're not going to develop anybody. And that's the way I'd always do it. I think in non-COVID times, they would have just sent a squad. I think in this one, it's kind of like I think that because they had such a bad experience going to the world in European indoors, they were probably trying to mitigate the circumstances, you know, like try and control the situation a bit better. And that's probably why they sent the smaller teams.
Just because obviously the men's 4x4 didn't go so well in the relays. And listen, stuff happens. Stuff happens in relays all the time. So it's not yep. necessarily anyone's fault. I think we can see what the issue was with that changeover. How much time do, obviously the 4x1 has to practice changeovers all the time, like because you cannot get through a 4x1 without really good changeovers. 4x4 changeovers, obviously you need to pass the baton. But I always feel like there's a couple of meters to be made up with good changeovers in the 4x4. How much time do you practice changing in 4x4? How familiar are everybody with the rules of the changeover zone? And do you think there's time and meters to be made up with good baton changing?
Yes to all of that. We do train. So we had a relay camp, although it was very restricted. Obviously COVID protocols. We had one about 2 months ago. And we were working on actually the speed of going through the exchange zone, where to exchange. So where's the optimum, how many meters into the zone you're exchanging. And then we need to, what speed we're going at. Obviously then it's, with all that, it's brilliant. You can do it in training and you can practice it all the time. But you also, in the 4x4, you've got to be aware that who's there, who's running beside you. You need to be aware of what the skills of the person are beside. So if I get the baton at the same time as, say, Kevin Borlée, both of us are going to try and sit on each other's shoulder. So you kind of might slow down that exchange to try and get behind that person. But then it's just there's so many different variables in the 4x4, and it comes down to experience. I feel like that with James, like he's really taken it on the chin. Like it was his first time, I think, running a 4x4 outdoors.
Right, yeah.
So... And I feel like he just made some rookie errors that he's taken. He's really like, look, it's completely his fault. He's not someone who's hiding and blaming other people. He's really taking it on the chin. And I think he'll learn from it. I think like he's someone who is still, I see he's obviously not young athlete, but he still can learn a lot and still develop quite a bit.
But that plays into exactly what you were just saying about not taking people to championships and not having that experience. I mean, it's good that it happens here at the World Relays where it matters less. But going forward, if this wasn't someone's first time running a relays in this circumstance, then we wouldn't be making sort of schoolboy errors like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it. I think like he's run indoors quite a lot. I think from his own admission, it's kind of been focusing on the ones and twos when he goes to outdoors. But with the opportunities that are available at the moment, like obviously if
of course
a couple of athletes weren't coming across from the States, you have to take the opportunity you're given to go and run the 4x4 for GB. And he's very proud to run for GB. And I think he was fantastic indoors. I thought like the way he attacked his individual and the relay, he was outstanding. I feel like he's going to get loads more opportunities because I feel like he has a lot to offer and he'll only get better.
Yeah. And listen, people with a lot more experience have made just the same kind of errors or worse. So like, actually,
I still make errors.
I wanted to ask you about, because we're talking about relay changeovers. To this day, I still don't understand what happened in Rio. What was that?
Okay.
What was that disqualification about? Because I've never heard of that rule before. I still don't know what it was.
Well, okay, so that rule doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, okay.
which is ridiculous. It was a ridiculous rule in the first place. And I think so what happened was our third leg runner, I won't throw him under the bus too much, was bouncing around on the line, like to walk close to the line, and his toe might have touched the line. So the judges were looking to get Brazil in that final. I don't care what, like I went through the mix zone and I was like, I was effing and blinding, and I was like, look, Brazil came 10th, but they needed a Brazilian team in the final event of the Rio Olympics. Mm. Yeah. They needed tickets to sell. They needed people to come and watch the event. So they needed Brazil to be there. They got two teams disqualified and they made the final. Like, I don't believe it was... Like, there was no video evidence of it. It was just literally a judge's decision against us. And obviously in athletics, it's the judge's decision is final rather than we have to prove our innocence. And it was pretty much impossible to see because the video evidence I've seen of it, you can't see him dancing on the line. And so I just think we ran incredibly well. Like we won in 2:58 something. Mm. And I was on last leg and I was striding down the home straight. I wasn't running down the home straight. So I knew I had more to give. I knew if we swapped our order around, we could run 2:57 low, which would have been enough to medal. So it's crazy. In Doha, the same thing happened. And when I went to, not for us, for the Bahrainians. And so I went to the track judge, said, oh, he's just done that. So now the rules doesn't count anymore. And I was like, so I lost out by being DQ'd for it and then lost out in the medal because someone else did it and it didn't count anymore. So, yeah.
You have to kind of give some props to that Brazilian judge for knowing such an obscure rule, which even us who've been following the event all this time have never seen. I think the last time it was used was in the Commonwealth in 1990. I think that was what someone said. Okay. The last time that would even been heard of. So, enough it respect to them for actually pulling that out.
Yeah, they had everything listed out. They were ready. They were looking for it. So it's a shame. I'll have that chip on the shoulder for the rest of my life, but never mind.
Well, there's another Olympics coming, so
exactly.
Yeah, that's true, very true. I think it was just tough. Like, I think with that, going back to that, I felt like we didn't really get the support as well from the BBC, which was something that really annoyed me at the time. I think they were ready to just throw us under the bus and throw our young athletes under the bus, and I was a bit like, that's probably hard. I went into the studio and
like I said to this day I have no idea what happened. We didn't understand it. It was never explained what the problem was. Something to do with a changeover rule that no one had ever heard of. So anyway, yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah. Just looking forward to, because we have got an Olympics coming up, obviously you said you've got your own private goals, which we won't ask you. Well, we will ask you to reveal, but I don't expect you to. And what can we expect coming? I mean, obviously, you're going to try and do the 400 and the relay. What can we expect from both events?
Well, a couple of years ago, I basically decided, right, I'm a relay runner. I'm just going to focus on the relay, and that'll be enough. And to be honest, I ran worse just focusing on that. I love the relay. It's something I'm better at than than an individual runner. But I still need to focus on the individual. I think that's the only way I'm going to get the best out of myself in a relay. So the qualification standard is 44.90. To be fair, I've only run it a handful of times outside of the championships. So I'll have to get my skates on to get it. But I want to get as close to that as possible, basically. I think that's... if I can run 44.9 or 45 low, then I'll run 44 flat, 43 high in a relay. And that's kind of what my job is. That's... that theory seems to have worked for me for a couple of years now, so that's the aim. I want to be able to go onto the track and I don't want to say dominate people, but I want to go on the right track and people know that they're going to be worried about me on a relay leg. So that didn't happen in Doha, and I want to get that fear back.
You are one of Britain's best relay runners of all time. We would 100% put you on our all-star UK 4x4 relay team. So just asking you, apart from yourself, because you're already on there, so that's one down, who are the other three people you'd like to join you on Britain's all-star 4x4 relay?
From any time.
Yeah, from any time.
Not like from now.
Okay, from any time. So I'd go Ewan first leg.
Yes.
I think that's self-explanatory. He's British record holder, and he's someone that was a good team player. I think so. He'd lead us off with the best passion. There's my dog kicking off, and my daughter. Sorry. So I'd have Ewan first. I'd have Delano Williams second. Completely left the field, but the way he ran in Rio on that second leg when we got disqualified, he ran 44 flat from lane one. Jamie Walsh hasn't run that quick. I think Mark Richardson might have run a little bit quicker or someone, but like that was incredible. Like literally, and the people he bullied, like he took out Chris Brown, he took out Jonathan Borley, he took out some of the best relay runners ever known, and it was incredible. So he's my second leg runner. Third leg would be Tim Benjamin. Yeah, like Tim taught me everything I needed to know about being part of a team. I think like I came from rugby and school sports and stuff, and I liked being part of a team, but he showed me how to be present, how to be important, how to be of assistance to other people, and how to lead by example. So Tim would be my third leg runner, I'll go fourth.
Isn't Tim the relay coach now?
He is now, yeah.
sucking up to the boss then, Martin.
you read the play. No. I've always said that Tim was someone that we didn't use enough. I felt like it was someone that for a couple of years was just lost to the sport. And I was like, a couple of young athletes were like speaking to him, and I managed to get him to do a video for the 4x4 in Yokohama, just like chatting about just being inspirational, I suppose, but also like how to handle yourself. And I felt like Tim, because when I first came into the team, he was the one who basically kicked me in the ass and got me into shape. So he'll always be that guy. Like, he'll be an important part of my career.
Martin, you left some big players on the... Where'd you leave,
yep,
where'd
the
you
bench.
Leave them?
On the bench.
On the bench, yeah. So I think that my All-Star Relay team would beat your All-Star Relay team. But at least... Okay. What I'd really like to see is you against Phil Brown on the last leg. That's what I would. That's what I'd be doing. Going for it. So
yeah, that'd be good. Phil, I've watched. See, I didn't really know much about Phil Brown, but from your like Twitters, I saw videos of him, and like there's one run which really was like. There's loads of runs where he's sitting on someone's shoulder, goes past, bread and butter, do that all day. He was very good at that. But there's one where he leads out, and he runs a really good leg on that
I
one.
I think it's 82 Commonwealths.
Maybe, yeah. He's just out on his own, yeah, out in front.
I know what you mean.
He controlled the run. And that's a tough, that's the hardest thing to do. Like, I think the quickest I've done doing that is like 44.2, where you just go out and you have to run on your own. You run like 43s where you get to sit on people. So yeah. It'd have been a tough challenge. I back myself. 100% back myself. But both of you
show like how important the relay is, because like, I mean, listen, you're super fast on the individual, but as a relay runner, it's almost like you're a different person, and Phil was as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you've got a relay band on your hand and you're not just representing yourself, but the rest of the team, we love to see that in athletes. And it's one of the reasons you're a big fan favourite.
Oh, thank you. I think what Phil did was like, he showed like I said, how important it was to run for his team and the teammates. And that's what brought the best out of him. I don't think I've ever met the guy. I follow him on Twitter, and he's very proud of Birmingham, and I see all those tweets going through. But it was someone that probably we should bring into British Athletics,
absolutely,
into the relay, have a conversation. There's lots of people I want to bring in. There's Nicola Saunders. Yeah. I wanted to. She's to me the best British relay runner, like across the board. I think like for her to run 48, I think it was like 48.5 in a relay.
Yeah,
and like, we're happy when girls are running like 50 point and 49 high, and she was literally, that's the levels that I want for our girls in the future. Yeah. Like I want them to aspire to that, and I think we've got the talent there now to
absolutely
to do it. So
listen, Martin, thank you so much for talking through relays with us. You know, we've had a great chat with you talking about this and the world relays and going forward. You do have an open invitation to come on, so when this is all over, end of the year, maybe you come on for the review, you can come and sit on the couch with us, have a few drinks, and we can talk more athletics.
I'm all in.
Thanks. We're open invitation, as I say. Thanks for coming today. Listen, we wish you all the best for the rest of the year. Wish you the best for the Olympics. Is the Olympics going ahead?
Yes, the Olympics
that's,
are going
that's,
ahead.
So. That is the correct answer. We're not people aren't allowed to say no on this podcast. So
okay.
We won't obviously be there, but we'll be cheering you on from home. Yep. So wish you all the best, and thanks ever so much for coming on to see the Backstreet Boys today.
Thank you very much, gents.
Hi, my name is Carson Worrell, and you're listening to the Backstreet Boys and Girls.
So glad we got him on finally. He's been talking, been going back and forth for quite a while, trying to get him on for a few years now. And he does have an open invitation to come back anytime to sit in the studio with us. It's interesting what you were saying about why we don't send the teams. You know, it's like a lot of the sprinters were abroad. We've got the qualifying. It does still rankle with me a bit, you know, that Britain doesn't really bother in that way. But I suspect this year, of all years, there's good excuses.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can let people off this year for lots of different things. But going forward, it would be nice. And especially because historically, I know 4x1s are very strong with us right now. But historically, we've had a lot of problems with the 4x1, dropping batons. And I think getting especially younger people into the team to practice would make a big difference. I mean, obviously, this time it was the 4x4 that had some problems with exchanges. And as Martin says, they do practice that. But you can't, like, you have to do it in competition with the hustle, the bustle, the tactic. You can't replicate that In a training session, like you can with the 4x1.
So interesting what he was saying about how when he's been doing it as many years as he has, and he knows who all his competitors are, so he will see coming up that he's got a ball late, and he will know what their tactics are going to be. So he'll want the incoming runner to slow down so he can slot in behind them, and that kind of thing. Obviously, there was none of that going on at the weekend, was there? I'm not blaming. It was James Williams who kind of made the mistake, but we're not sort of blaming him. He's new to the team, you know, it's a new circumstance. The whole team was kind of pretty new, but it was a real schoolboy error, you know, that happened there, not really getting where you were supposed to be. You know, he basically aimed for somewhere he wasn't going to be passing over, didn't he? Which, with someone more experienced, would have known that, would have taken it into account before they started overtaking in the final stretch.
Therefore, do you think that speaking to Martin today has really, in your guys, kind of consolidated the fact that he needs to be in and around these relay camps?
Yes.
Martin still has so much to contribute. He's got so much wisdom. He's such a bundle of energy. And actually, I think it's all very well blooding youngsters, and we've got some formidable young talents in our relay squads right now. So you need your Martins, you need your Ashes, you need people like that in and around the squad who are going to bring a team together and just be a bit of scaffolding you can build a squad around.
Well, that's absolutely true. And he even said that, you know, at one point he was thinking of just doing the relays from now on, you know, because he loves them. But also it's really important you do have those kind of elder statesmen people in there. He very specifically mentioned Tim Benjamin and how it was Tim Benjamin who was like not a generation before him. He's only very slightly older than him. But he was kind of brought Martin into the team and taught him how to be a relay runner. And we always say this, a relay is not about the fastest team. It's about the fastest baton, you know, and you can have the fastest team on paper, but if they don't gel, if they haven't practiced, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why that baton isn't going to get round. And having someone like Martin with all those years of experience in there is really, really important. And, you know, he's what, 34 now? I don't know how much longer he's going to go, but I would be perfectly happy for him to stick around just being in the relay going forward, you know. And it does feel very much like even if and when he does retire, he's not going to be disappearing. He talked a lot about how it's important that you keep those voices, you know, in the sport.
And also to be one of those athletes who raises their game for the relay. Because we all know athletes who are spectacular in the individual and just don't really bring it in the relay for lots of different reasons, I'm sure. But Martin's always been one of those athletes who's great at the individual, but just he steps it up a notch when he's got a baton in his hand. And I think that's something, I don't know if you can teach it, but it's something, definitely something that we can try and inspire people to emulate.
I actually do know for a fact that you can teach it, but it requires use of an underground or multi-story car park.
You're absolutely right, Claire.
That's a fact.
Just thinking about the World Relays, though, were there any particular performances that you liked or didn't like, or any races that you were interested in?
I mean, I just liked Italy.
Yeah, Italy were great, weren't they?
I liked, you know, none of the performances were particularly great.
No.
There was no huge times or anything for the teams. It was because some individual people did well. But I just loved that, just the joy of like Italy winning two gold medals.
And Ireland qualifying in the relay.
Qualifying.
Denmark qualifying.
There's an article on the World Athletics website about the Ecuadorian women's team, the 4x1 team, and how no Ecuadorian relay team has ever qualified for the Olympics before, ever. And so by making the final, they automatically qualified.
Yeah.
And they said they've had thousands of people. It's like been a huge story in Ecuador, and they've been training in Portugal, so they haven't actually been home, but they've had so much support from home. And it's little things like that. That's why I love the sport, and often those little things are more joyous to me than like big world records or gold medals or something.
And what do we talk about all the time? About those little micro promotions will lead into a macro promotion. Now Ecuador are invested in the women's 4x400 meter relay at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about joy, look at the South African men's side for the 4x100 metres. It's so contagious, and you're right, because it's little things like that that do transcend the sport. And I think everyone has run a relay at Sports Day. It's one of the most accessible athletics events, and even the people who didn't like athletics or sports at school and who would be sick for the 1500 year after year after year would actually, come Sports Day, quite enjoy getting involved in a relay. Everyone loves them, and I think that is why this event has got so much potential when it comes to giving athletics a platform.
This was just an off year. We can't judge the World Relays by this year. I still thoroughly enjoyed it, you know, but I don't think going forward we really need to, maybe too many lessons can be learnt from this particular year, because it's a bit of an anomaly.
Claire, what did you think of the more novelty events like the 2x2x400 metres and the shuttle relay?
I mean, They're just... Okay, you know how quite often you'll go looking for clothes online and you'll go on a Topshop or an ASOS or something high street and you'll look at a top and you'll think, that is a great t-shirt, but why is it covered in sequins? Why have they added lace trim to it? Why is there a zip on the pocket? Like, I feel like those peripheral events, the world's relays, fine, but I would rather it was just a t-shirt. I don't need those details, and that's why I'm not going to put it in my basket.
I agree.
100% agree with you. Because that's not an athletics event. It's a training run,
totally.
Isn't it? It's just very, very, very odd. And especially as, and maybe this would change over years, but because no one knows how to run it, it's not particularly interesting. It's not fast times. People don't seem to be running to win. It's all very tactical. And it's just messy. You just think, why are you not running as fast as you can? That's the whole purpose of a relay, you know, to run as fast as you can. Very, very odd thing. And the hurdles just doesn't work. No. The hurdles just isn't very televisual, is it?
Love a distance relay. I think cross country has proven the excitement that there can be over an event like that. And there are so many tactics to it. And I don't think it has a place at the Olympics, but I love a mixed relay because I think there's a lot of very interesting permutations within your team lineup there. But I do think, again, like a hurdles doesn't work. If there's a shuttle element to it, it's not as exciting to watch because you're not necessarily chasing someone in a linear fashion. And when there's multiple reps, you're right, it's a session.
It also does feel like there was watching on TV and because they, you know, God bless the BBC. They showed a load of athletics, but because we don't have any, not so often, but because there's no field events going on, there was big long gaps between events. So sometimes 15 minutes between one thing finishing and the next one starting. This does seem to me to be an opportunity to have some field events, and you can do them as teams. So like maybe you do team shot put, where you have three people from a particular country and their accumulated scores. So it's kind of the same kind of thing as a relay, but it means that more people get the opportunity to compete. It means there's not big gaps between the events, and it just gives more variety instead of just sprints.
You could get really silly with
that. That's a really good idea.
You could set a target height, and it's the first team to hit that with the triple jump or the high jump or the long jump. And you say, you've got to get 100 metres. You can't jump until your teammate is out of the sandpit. And then it's just go, I mean, you wouldn't do that, but that could be quite fun.
You could do shot put, discus, javelin, no, we're getting really complicated now.
like a medley relay, right?
But even if you did it with like, you know, it could be an opportunity for heptathletes or multi-eventers. So you could have, you know, what high jump, long jump, something else, you know, throw over some descriptions. So, and they did it in teams. I'm just thinking of ways you can incorporate more people, so it's not just sprinters getting more opportunities to get medals, which we see over and over.
Or it
again.
Could be dead cute, and whichever event they've kicked out of the Diamond League that year could get an opportunity to be a part of a program. So you could just bring those back in, and in between the relay events, you have the ostracized disciplines.
Done.
So overall, not a vintage year of world relays, but still athletics right now is a gift regardless of how it comes, and some, like you said, a couple of little golden nuggets in there of results.
So, and also just talking to Martin about this weekend, he's competing this weekend at BMC, which is exciting. There's some 400s at the BMC, so that's interesting. But also the BMC is something we love, and I really need to look it up now. I didn't realize it was happening. Who's going to be running? What distance runners are going to come out and run? Which will be...
Guess who's running a 400?
Who?
Our new indoor European 800 metre gold medalist, Keely.
Keely,
I can't wait. I'm really interested to see how she goes.
Hi, I'm Goldie Sayers, and you're listening to the Backstreet Boys and Girl podcast.
BMC is incredibly exciting, and lots taking place over in the States right now. Jazz Sawyers is jumping so, so well. And I just think when Jazz is jumping well, I'm happy and all feels right in the world. She says she's got something big in the tank when she can just jump a wind legal jump. But plenty of impressive performances from both Brits and global athletes, and my word, the lineups for Gateshead are absolutely stacked. We're going to have to talk about it properly another time once we've done some research. Yeah. But from all the announcements, all the press releases I've been seeing, the men's pole vault is basically a who's who of the sport. Dina's going to open up her season there, and it just sounds like the great and the good.
With Elaine and Shelly-Ann.
Yes, and Elaine is running fast. 10.88 did I see the other day?
And who's the new American girl who's won 10-7?
Oh, Sha'Carri Richardson, the NCAA champ.
Yeah, Sha'Carri Richardson as well. She's there as well, I think.
Joss, it's going to be amazing. So we promise, listeners, we will preview all of it in about a fortnight's time. We've already got a date locked in, and we might, isn't that right, be sitting in an outdoor space, socially distanced, but recording together for the first time in, what, 18 yes. months?
We'll see wow. how that goes.
I think it will be nice. There'll be fewer tech issues and much less talking over one another, which can only be yes. a good thing. The final thing I wanted to say is that shops are back open, non-essential shops. And whilst I think running is essential, the government didn't deem it to be so. Mm. But it does mean that runners need stores all over the country are back open. So I thought we could maybe touch upon our sponsors with whom we have loved recording these little segments and just give a shout out to the fact that you can now go online, book your free gait analysis and get yourself some fresh new kicks.
I walked past one the other day and the door was open and there was a queue outside and I got very excited.
Now, I do need to buy some fresh new kit because I put on so much weight in lockdown that I don't actually fit into my gym kit, which is a real, real sign that things have gone downward, isn't it? But the good news is my gym reopened and I've been running. I've been on a treadmill Ooh. Running. I have actually lost quite a bit of weight, which is very exciting, but it's so interesting to be running again. I'd kind of like forgotten how it worked. I felt like when I started running, I was running really weirdly, but that is really, really good. And I'm going to be committed. I've got a half marathon booked for the end of the year. I think it's November now.
Nice.
So yeah, it's happening. There's no chance it's not happening. And I'm actually going to leave when we get off here. I'm going to the gym now.
Good for you. I definitely need Hello. To buy some new kit because the other day I finished work and I was heading down the stairs through my flat. I live in a block of flats and I was just doing up the top clasp on my sports bra and I realised that a bit of it had broken off. So it's so old. It's a brilliant old Sweaty Betty one, but it had just rusted. That's awful, I know. And it just snapped off. I was like, oh, that's so annoying. It's fine. I've got another one out. I know where it is. So I go back upstairs. I go back into my flat. I whip off my top. And I've got the sports bra on. And I shout to my sister, who's in the flat, how bloody annoying is this? My sports bra's broken. And it wasn't my flat. I live on floor 5 and I'd gone to floor 4 and their front door had been open and I just hadn't looked at the door number and I'd walked straight into this stranger's kitchen. And I was just stood there in my sports bra.
And whipped your bra off.
Luckily, the bra was still on and one of the clasps hadn't broken. So it wasn't like quite full on. It wasn't a strippogram. It was just me in my sports bra. But I'd walked straight into this stranger's kitchen and this young man I've never seen before jumps an absolute country mile. And I just panicked and I ran.
That worked, Claire. That actually happened at my flat once. So like the woman who lives above me came in my door and walked all the way down the corridor into my living room and went, oh, wrong flat, and just
Claire, you need to get online to Runners Need website and get some new sport bras before you flash somebody.
Yes.
Before I become a public nuisance.
Exactly.
The problem is I struggle because I can't afford sports bras at full price. I can only afford like 85% sports bras. Do you have a solution?
If only you had a code.
Wait, do you have a code?
I think if you go on the website and you use the code BACKSTRAIGHT, you can get 15% off any 4PROS clothing item, but not electronics, I believe that's right. So get on there now, get your new kit, get ready for running in the summer and running a half marathon at the end of the year.
And I'll be going on to buy a new sports bra right now.
But was there a couple of things you just wanted to mention before we round up?
There was, yes. So on our last episode, which was the Javelin special, we mentioned about how to fix this, we wanted to do some like throws fest, you know, much like the Night of the 10,000 PBs. Now, one of our listeners, Nick Ridgin, hello, Nick, thanks for tuning in. He actually got in touch with me on Instagram and he sent me a link to something called the England Throws Camps. And England Throws Camps are actually running a throws fest. Throws Fest 2021,
nice.
I know. It's on the 4th and 5th of September and it's in Malton. Not quite sure where Malton is. I did look it up, but it's kind of the middle of the country. So have a look, go on the Instagram, look up England Throws Camps and you will be able to see a lot more about the Throws Fest, which is taking place in September. So that's very exciting. And maybe, hopefully, we might be able to go along.
Oh, I'm going to do that right away. As soon as we're done recording, I'll give them a follow.
Cool. And one other just quick thing. It's just something I came across that I thought might be of interest to followers, to listeners. is there's a program that I came across called Driving Force. Maybe I'm late to the party. Maybe everybody knows about this. It's called Driving Force. It's on a channel called Sky Sports Mix. So I suppose if you've got Sky, maybe you'll be able to find it. And it's just interviews with Judy Murray, Andrew Murray's mum. But she's interviewing all these great athletes. It's Christina Horogu, Kelly Holmes, Dina Asher-Smith, and then loads of other female sports people, Becky Adlington, Charlotte Desjardins. And it's just really, really good. It's like full hour-long interviews with like Kelly, Christine, Dina, etc., and lots of other sports women. It's really, really good. I really suggest it to people. So look, if you've got Sky, and if you've got Sky Sports Mix, look up Driving Force, because I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Is it one of those ones that you need to have bought a Sky subscription to watch? Or
I have no idea. I just found it somewhere down the... I suspect I was just searching athletics once to see what was on or when it was on or something, and I came across it. So no idea. You'll have to go and look for it yourself. But if you have like a Sky something or other, Sky Sports Mix. Hang on, we have someone who may know a bit more about that. Oh. I'm going to point out here.
Driving Force is great. Some of my colleagues were involved in pulling it together. If you go on Now, which is what Now TV has been renamed, you can buy a Sky Sports Mix pass. It's super, super cheap, and it'll get you tons of netball and other really good sport as well. And that will enable you to go and hunt down the episodes.
Just last thing I'm going to say, just on another note, I just came across a podcast the other day, and I think it's called Track Podcast, but episode 23 is an hour and 42 minutes interview with Christine Boxer, with the legendary Christine Boxer.
Where did you find that?
So I haven't tuned in yet, but I don't know, I just came across it. I'm not even sure. But I don't know what other people they've interviewed, but that was the one that stood out to me. So I've downloaded that, and I still need to give it a listen. But
What's it called?
Track Podcast.
Okay.
If you want to help other people find this podcast, dear listener, you can do so by popping onto your podcast provider right now. Why not do it right now? And leave us a review and or a rating. And then let us know that you've done so, or just say hi. We're on social media all the time. And you can find us at Boys.
Instagram is Backstreet Boys Podcast.
And on Twitter, it's at Backstreet B, or you can just search Backstreet Boys.
I'm at Claire_G Thomas. And yes, please do leave us a review. We love reading them, and we promise we take all comments on board. And in fact, the audio quality is about to step up considerably for this pod, thanks to some new friends we have on board, but more on that to follow. Thanks very, very much, Martin. I'm so sad I couldn't chat to you. I can't believe I wasn't available for that one, but it was absolutely fascinating hearing from you, and it is very much an open invitation. We would be keen as mustard to get you back.
So we'll see you all in a couple of weeks when we'll be previewing the first Diamond League of the year.
Oh.
So we'll see you then.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Rooney.
None of us can pull it off. None of us.